the way that I felt and the way George Bush felt after we lost New Hampshire to John McCain. This thing is a gut punch. Nobody saw it coming.
Now everyone regroups for the main caucuses on Saturday. Authorities in Pierce County, Washington have released the 911 tape from the social worker who called to report that Josh Powell had blown up his home with him and his two young sons inside. In this part of the tape, the social worker tells the operator that there were people inside the home when it blew up.
Yes, there was a man and two children. I just dropped off the children and he wouldn't let me in the door.
Funeral services for the two boys are scheduled for Saturday afternoon. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N. says Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's days are numbered. Meanwhile, violence continued to rage in Syria. An activist named Zaidun, going by just his first name for safety reasons, says conditions are intolerable in Syria.
We are not able even just to get some basic medicine to injured people. Children are really hungry. I swear. Children are hungry.
The UN Security Council tried to pass a resolution to get the Syrian regime to stop the killing, but Russia and China vetoed it. Another remote-controlled drone took out more suspected militants in northwest Pakistan's tribal area. This time, security officials say 10 people were killed. It was the fourth known American drone strike in Pakistan this year. The European Aviation Safety Agency has ordered all Airbus A380 Super Jumbo planes currently in operation to be checked for wing cracks. A company exec says the problem is easily repaired and poses no danger. The planes won't be grounded. This is CNN Radio.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Nerman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountemps.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Nerman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even bump it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
This week, we shared with you projections of oil and gasoline prices for the spring and summer, reaching potentially record levels across the nation. Fresh news on U.S. oil supply appears to underpin those predictions. In early electronic trades, oil futures are up a dollar to more than $99 a barrel, following word from the American Petroleum Institute that domestic inventory has dropped as demand for oil and its products, such as gasoline, has increased. More drama at Yahoo, 5 months after the company fired its CEO and 1 month after Yahoo's co-founder quit the board. Four company directors, including Chairman Roy Bostock, say they are leaving. Yahoo's value as a company has fallen in half in the 4 years following Microsoft's rebuffed offer to buy it out. This morning we get several high-profile earnings reports from companies including McDonald's, CVS, and Time Warner. Ahead of those reports and on rising hope Greece may get its austerity deal approved, S&P futures are gaining a point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed.
Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. They say his tiny size symbolizes $10 off the regular price on select TurboTax software this week. $10 off is a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the TurboTax display anyway. And he's out cold. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Good on TurboTax Deluxe or higher.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. The easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Beat the winter blues with great savings at Rite Aid. Now through March 3rd, you can earn a $20 plus-up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the Buy and Save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Save more this winter at Rite Aid with Winter Rewards. Another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus-up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase once qualifying threshold is met. Plus-up expires March 17th.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Good morning, one and all. It is First Shift. It is a Wednesday morning, the eighth day of February 2012. A pleasure to be with you. An interesting morning. A little later on this evening, Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson will be giving a State of the County address. Two remarkable things about that. Number one, he de-invited the Democratic commissioners, claiming blah, 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 that they shouldn't be there for legal reasons, which is just BS. But secondly, the Democratic challenger to L. Brooks Patterson, Kevin Howley, will be on this show this morning to give his State of the County address, at least part of it anyway. So we'll look forward to that. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. Lee Gaddis will be with us. And at 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press. And he's actually, I was a little surprised by the topic that he gave me for this morning. I had posted a story on Sunday to the First Shift Facebook page about mental illness and how it has affected people and legislatively, so on and so forth. And it was really quite enlightening. Got a pretty tremendous response Sunday on the Facebook page. So that's what he chose to talk about today. And I'm kind of glad because it'll be an interesting conversation. But with all that said, it is time for us to do what we do so well.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Skeptical. I think oftentimes people are just skeptical of what's going on. And for a variety of reasons, mostly because, I'll be honest with you, you're not going to be happy with my what I have to say here, but I think people are skeptical because they don't take the time to get their own information and make a decision based on facts and their own research skills or lack thereof. It's easy to be skeptical when you don't put in the work that needs to be put in. It's easy to be skeptical when you are so blinded by one point of view you can't even look at another. Oh, yes, to be skeptical is sometimes an excuse, something to hide behind. And I think Republicans do that exceptionally well. Oh, so do Democrats at some level, I guess. I'll give that to you. But skepticism, or being skeptical, is, I guess, part of the process. But it could also be part of the solution if you'll allow it to be, which means you don't sit back and wait for information to come to you. You go to it. That's right. You work hard at it. Skeptical, which I am not at all, is today's first word. I'm not skeptical of the show anyway. Just saying. Good morning, Mr. Radford. How are you?
Well, apparently, if I could find my mic, there we go.
It's that silver thing that's...
Right. It's that. It's just that kind of morning already. Doing well. How are you?
Well, obviously, as you know, I'm a little tired this morning as I kept falling asleep in the control room. Like you said, it's just one of those mornings. I'm tired today. I don't know why.
Maybe it's the change of weather. Because it's been so warm, and then yesterday I was like, where does, you know, I got out of work, and all of a sudden you see, it's not snow, but it wasn't rain. It was like somewhere in between coming out and, you know, just plastering my car. And I'm like, man, this is cold. Like, and somebody actually had to remind me yesterday, it is winter, Jeff. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is, but I mean, it hasn't felt like it at all.
No, no. And I mean, it is cold this morning. It's in the lower 20s. I'm sure there's a little wind chill going on. You know, it's so, yeah, it is cold, but, I don't know. I'm just, I had a very, very full day yesterday. Now, for whatever reason, it is what it is, but, we have a caller, so we're going to do this a little different. Let's, not keep Tom waiting, and then we'll come back and talk about, the stuff that we talk about to start the show, but let me turn my attention and by the way, invite all of you, 888-552-3595 to, and join us at any time. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you today?
And out of my Wednesday morning, man.
There you go.
But anyway, how's Anthony?
Anthony's great. He's here.
Okay. So he's on top of the weather now, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Good, good, good. But anyway, I want to give my take on this, spot in the Super Bowl with Clint Eastwood. You know, I saw the thing in the paper, and I saw Karl Rove sitting there, you know, groveling and, you know, sniffing and snotting in the whole 9 yards. And my point was this. Had this been George Bush in office, they wouldn't be saying a thing, okay, in terms of the political implications. But what I saw in that commercial was I saw, meaning Clint Eastwood, talking about a country and a company, you know, who both are resilient. And like he says, you know, we don't get knocked out with just one punch. We get back up. And that's exactly what's going on right now. I mean, if you look at it in terms of the brink or the edge to where this country was pushed, as well as Chrysler, I mean, we were getting ready to fall off the edge, okay? But we've gotten things together, and you know, the economy is starting to tick up. The unemployment rate is dropping down. People are getting back to work. Chrysler posted its first profit since, what,
1999.
Okay, 183 million, was it 183
yep.
billion dollars? Their employees are now getting profit-sharing checks. They're selling vehicles. They're gaining market share, and they're starting to employ people again. And, I mean, this says one hell of a whole lot in terms of that ad that aired on the Super Bowl commercial. I mean, the commercial that aired during the Super Bowl. I mean, it just shows the resilience and the tenacity of this country and also of Chrysler and GM as well.
Oh, and let's give a little credit, Tom, to the American consumer that has a choice.
Yes.
And, I realize that you have to make cars that people want to buy. I mean, that there mm-hmm. is that reality. And, you know, the engineers, of course, and again, I want to go back to, you remember the K car, Tom, how boring car was?
Yes.
You know, but it the reason that car worked was because it was cheap. It was a reliable car that was cheap. Well, mm-hmm. that's all well and good, but they kind of lived in that world for way too long.
Yeah.
They stopped taking risks. They stopped designing cars that people wanted to buy. Now, granted, they are now designing cars that people want to buy. But the American consumer has to take that plunge. And for some of them, that was a perhaps a little more difficult decision to make because of, you know, of past purchases. I'm glad to see that the American people have done what they've needed to do to help turn not around just Chrysler and GM, but Ford as well. Ford, of course, Tom, as we all know, did not take any loans. But it was not an easy climb for them.
Oh, no, no. And, you know, they started selling, you know, they started dropping stuff a long time before General Motors and Chrysler did and that kind of thing. And also, I understood that former President George Bush, who started the loans to the automobile company, he said that if he had to do all over again, he'd do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna speak to that a little bit later on in this hour. I've got that article here, and I'm gonna reference that in just a little bit. But yeah, he did say that.
And even the president, even President Obama said it was unpopular, but it was the right thing to do. I mean, come on, you know, you're talking about a million plus people, you know, being out of work, losing homes, families, and the whole 9 yards with that ripple effect, and including General Motors and Chrysler, who would have just been you know, they were talking about, well, the public could have taken. No, there was not that kind of money around for the public to go in there and save GM and Chrysler.
Yeah, I think, Tom, we take for granted that because of where we live, that, you know, the majority of people would say, well, of course we'd want to save those jobs. But if you don't live in Michigan, if you, even if you don't live in southeast Michigan, you don't understand how critical the industry is to the very survival of this region. And
exactly.
So if I'm living in Alabama, or I'm living in Florida, or I'm living
in Kentucky
or Dubuque or wherever else in Montana, you know, I don't necessarily I understand that Detroit is the Motor City, but I don't understand how massive that commitment is to the industry is to that area. I mean, I don't fully understand it anyway. So
we used to say when we were kids, I feel you, but I can't reach you.
There you go. So anyway, Tom, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay,
I think that as we take a look at that Clint Eastwood ad, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as well a little later on. You know, there were some other comments about some of the other ads that were produced for Super Bowl Sunday. I'm still going back to this, you know, idea that Jeff and I talked about on Monday, which is I think that, you know, you filter it through whatever your own personal experiences are at any given time. And so if you're unemployed and looking for work and struggling, that Clint Eastwood ad, that Chrysler ad, probably says something different to you than it does to somebody that's gainfully employed or somebody that's wealthy. Keep in mind that not everybody loved that ad. Some people criticized it. And then, of course, we have the other reality that we know that Clint Eastwood is conservative. He is not a supporter of this president, is certainly not a supporter of unions, much more a libertarian than anything, and that doesn't always bode well for those of us on the left. So it's all very interesting, and that's that. All right, we're going to take a Tom, again, thanks for the call. We're going to take a quick break here. A lot to get to. As we work our way through this Wednesday morning program, amazing how quickly the weeks fly by. I can't believe still that it's February, but it is. In fact, it's the 8th of February, which is just blowing my mind. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. There were caucuses aplenty last night. Who won? Well, we'll get to that and so much more. Stay with us on First Shift. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have one accident out there today. Now, if we're westbound at Metro Parkway, an accident there blocking the right lane. Debris is scattered across the road. You'll find some delays rolling up to that. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the lower 20s. And then Thursday, sunny, a high around 41. Right now, it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Chip with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Monday or Wednesday morning. Don't want it to be Monday again. No, I do not. Not that Monday wasn't a lovely day. It was. But we're just trying to move on from it. We're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. I got to tell you, the Jeff, the power of the Internet, between the Internet and iHeart, in all the ways that you can listen to the show, including the terrestrial way, it's kind of cool because we've got a call from Northern California. Let's welcome Dave to First Shift. Dave, welcome to the program.
Well, Tony, I'm a Dave that you may have once recalled.
Oh, I know this voice anywhere. This is an old dear friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, how are you?
Oh, really great, Tony. Alice and I used to listen to you almost every day and call in every once in a while. And you made the decision at one point that maybe you were better needed in the government than on the radio, and we didn't get to hear you again for a long time. Today is the first day that I found you back. I've become very, very much active in Occupy. We have here an Occupy site at our university, Humboldt State University here in Arcata, California, and I understood you were going to have a guest and be talking about Occupy shortly, so I thought, well, maybe this would be the day to get back in touch with you. Alice is no more. She lived to be almost 100 and stayed active and alert right till the end.
Oh, God bless her, Dave.
Yeah.
God bless her. Yeah, in fact, Dave, I'm so glad you called. I mean, this is a warm, wonderful voice. Folks, you need to understand that that Dave has been following my career now for, I don't know, I want to say 10 years, Dave? Maybe not that long. I don't know. But
probably 9 or so, 10.
Yeah, but it's just wonderful to hear your voice. And we, by the way, every day we do a segment on the Occupy Detroit movement, which is a great movement here. It's grown exponentially, Dave, in so many wonderful ways, and it continues to be really a bright spot in on this program. And it's you know, it's certainly an affirmation to what happens when good people come together to accomplish good things. And so I'm very, very happy that we have a chance to, you know, affect a little bit of that on a daily basis. And so yes, yeah, so it's something that, that we have committed to, and I'm glad that we're doing it.
I'm awfully good to, happy to hear that with you, Tony. I'm sure you would be somebody that would be a supporter and a follower. What we have, the problem I have, it's a big university, and young students are going about at a hectic pace. And there we have set up one tent, a couple of tables, and mostly little cardboard signs and whatnot. And they go by, and most all the students that I talk with, they well know that the problem is a real one, that big corporate greed is destroying this country, and that something needs to be done about it. They look at our little ragged tent and old tables, cardboard tables and whatnot, and I think it's going to take more than us to do it. Well, the thing is, if they didn't walk by, if they decided, let's get involved, and suddenly we were hundreds of people there, we'd be a much more significant voice. I'd love to see that happening more, but we have to wake them up.
Well, and again, Dave, I want to thank you again for the call. I want you to feel free and feel comfortable to call anytime you'd like. It's especially as it relates to the Occupy movement, it is the younger generation that needs to, and they are in Detroit, are carrying that torch and carrying it high and proudly and illuminating issues and providing voice to so many things that have gone ignored for so long. So I'm very proud, especially, of the work that they are doing here in Detroit. I realize that not every city is experiencing and enjoying the kind of success that the Occupy Detroit movement is, but I'd like to think it can serve as a model for
great.
Others.
Now that I found you again, I'll be a regular listener with you again, Tony.
Well, I appreciate
I'll
that.
I'll be good to be hearing you.
God bless you. How nice. How nice to hear from Dave. Wow, Jeff, that's a cool call. And he will call on a regular basis. You'll see that he's an intelligent man. He's a retired guy. But again, he's been following me for a long time. And when I decided to leave my show some years back and run for Congress, he tried to advise me otherwise. And probably more prudent to have followed his advice. But unfortunately, I did not. Which took me off the air for quite some time. Anyway, very, very nice to hear from Dave. And that's that. All right, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. There was nothing happening in the world of sports last night, was there?
There was a big basketball game, not involving anyone from the state, but, yeah, nothing locally. I guess the Wings are at home now.
Yeah, in fact, here's one for you. They haven't lost at home since November 3rd. Think about that.
That's a long time.
They haven't lost at home since November 3rd.
Comfortably in 2011. That's how long ago that is.
Yeah. Over 90 days. That's a long time. That's impressive. And I think they have quite a long home stand, 6 or 7 games. So they'll be home for a while.
How many of the 6 or 7 do you think they win?
5.
That's not bad. Yeah. The streak gets snapped then.
Yeah, the streak will get snapped. I mean, nothing lasts forever. I'm okay with that. They're having an exceptional season. Oh, sure, they could be playing a little better on the road, but they're really having a very good season. No question, unless something falls apart here in the second half, they'll be in the playoffs. So, that's what it's about. We've become spoiled. I think this will be our 22nd year in a row making the playoffs.
Right. So why even question it? So
I don't actually. I just don't want to jinx it either. But not that I believe in such things. They've got a lot of talent.
You don't?
I don't believe in jinxes. No, I don't believe in jinxes.
So when somebody has a no-hitter, do you freely mention it?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I've just been around so many people who are like, oh, no-hitter, no-hitter, no-hitter. I don't believe in that. And the minute they say that, you look up and a hit happens.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with my saying it.
No, but it's fun. I believe in that. Well, I like
fine.
That stuff.
That's fine. Go ahead and believe in it. I don't. As really, it has nothing to do with my saying, oh, my God, he's having an up, can't say it. That has nothing to do with that. Oh, no, it does not.
But I think I don't think you can do it if you, like, it's happening against the Tigers. You can't just be like, no hitter. And it has to be you truly want it to see it happen and you mention it, then you jinx it. There's rules to it.
Okay. Now there are rules to it?
Yes.
Okay. I know that throughout the history of baseball, some announcers have taken some major league crap for the way they announce a no-hitter.
Well, local guys, I mean, Mario and Rod have taken crap for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people take that stuff very seriously.
On radio, they do. They have to, because there's no other way to do it. But Rod and Mario can be like, whoa, look at the scoreboard. You know, I mean, they can point it out in ways that you can figure it out visually.
Okay. Well, like, of course, it doesn't matter to me, because I can give a crap. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the GOP caucuses last night. Rick Santorum. That's right. That's not a mistake. Rick Santorum, the big winner. What the hell is going on in the Republican Party? I don't think they know. We'll take the break and we'll come back and talk about it. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some good news. That accident we had 94 westbound at Metro Parkway, that has cleared. Nothing going on right now. That's a good thing. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 36. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the lower 20s. And then Thursday, sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Right now, it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Sorry, we're closed. And one of the saddest signs of the times, this message is popping up all across the country as governors and legislators are cutting off funds and shutting off access to one of the finest, most popular assets owned by the people of our country, state parks. More than 6,600 of these jewels draw some 700 million visitors a year to their grand vistas, historic sites, wildlife, campgrounds, educational centers, and lodges. Parks are literally a tangible expression of America's democratic ideals, common ground for every man, woman, and child to enjoy and experience. For the middle class and the poor, who can't jet off to luxury resorts for a getaway or vacation, these spaces offer a form of real wealth, something that each of us literally owns, knitting us together as a community and a nation. Yet, too many spiritually shriveled, small-minded, and short-sighted state officials are snuffing out this uniting social force, stupidly treating parks as nothing but a budget number, or worse, a piece of the nanny state to be axed in the name of ideological purity. Top politicos in most states are closing many of their parks, slashing hours and services at others, or simply handing over the public's asset to profiteering corporations. Idaho's governor has proposed eliminating the entire parks department. California shut the gates of a fourth of the state's parks last year. Officials in Arizona and Florida intend to privatize their parks. Washington State has cut off most of its park funding, and Ohio has okayed oil drilling in its parks to replace state financing. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Woody Guthrie said of outlaws, some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. Shutting parks is theft by the in-laws, the political insiders who are stealing the people's property, stealing from America itself.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yep, absolutely. Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. By the way, Michelle Bachmann still thinks she was the perfect candidate. Jeff sent me that a link to that story yesterday. She really does. I don't know. Somebody probably should tell her that she's not a candidate anymore. If she hasn't figured it out. But, you know, that's up to her. I'm okay with it. Let her live in delusion. Minnesota-Colorado caucuses went to Rick Santorum. This is odd. Now, you stop and for a moment and just think about what we've seen happen. And I don't recall a primary season where this far, literally this far into it, which we're not that far, but this far into it, we don't have a clear front runner. And we don't. Rick Santorum gave his little victory speech. This is what he had to say.
Your votes today were not just heard loud and wide across the state of Missouri and Minnesota, but they were heard loud and louder all across this country. And particularly in a place that I suspect, maybe in Massachusetts, they were heard particularly loud tonight. Tonight was not just a victory for us, but tonight was a victory for the voices of our party, conservatives and Tea Party people, who are out there every single day in the vineyards, building the conservative movement in this country, building the base of the Republican Party, and building a voice for freedom in this land. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Yes, Missouri as well. Forgot Missouri. Didn't mean to. So he's done well. I mean, he's, you know, I'll give him that. He really has done well.
How big is of this is are these wins for him? How bad is it for Romney not to win?
Well, that's a great question, Jeff. That's a great question. I think it's worse for Romney than it is better for or good for Santorum, if that makes sense to you. It hurts Romney more than it helps Santorum.
So what does it mean for the entire GOP?
That's a really great question because I have no clue. Newt Gingrich did horribly in all these contests yesterday. In fact, he did worse in these than anything to this point. No, I don't know. I don't know if it means anything. The national spin on this is now all eyes are on Arizona. Well, what about Michigan? Well, here's part of the problem with the Michigan primary is that Newt Gingrich will not be spending any time here. Rick Santorum will be spending very little time here. And Ron Paul, God bless him, although there's this big push. I got some emails yesterday, you know, encourage your audience to vote for Ron Paul in the February 28th primary. You know, there's a big push, John, for the Democrats who can now vote in both the primary and the caucus to mess up the Republicans, mess up Mitt Romney. I think that they've kind of given up Michigan to Mitt Romney, to be honest with you, Jeff. So I don't know what this all means because I don't think that I believe that the GOP still hasn't figured out who they want their nominee to be.
And the big talking point out of last night seems to be the fact that Rick Santorum has now won more states than Mitt Romney, and he spent $30 million less doing it.
Yeah, it's just this is just insane. You know, Mitt Romney, of course, had to do his conciliatory thing, and this is the speech he gave to congratulate Rick Santorum.
Warm to be in this room and with so many friends here, and I want to say thank you to you. The race is too close to call in Colorado at this point, but I'm pretty confident we'll come in number one or number two, and I'm looking for a good showing. You guys, I know there's still some people getting back from caucuses, but I want to say thanks to the efforts that you've made to get out to caucus and to support my effort. And I want to say thanks to people also in Missouri and Minnesota who've taken time to vote today. This was a good night for Rick Santorum. I want to congratulate Senator Santorum. Wish him the very best. We'll keep on campaigning down the road, but I expect to become our nominee with your help.
Okay. Only because Jeff has, you know what? Yesterday I was saying that you had a man crush on someone. I think your man crush is on Ron Paul.
Because I got speeches from everyone last night?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I guess you did. But why do you keep on throwing Ron Paul in there like he matters?
What do you mean? You're the one who said people are emailing you saying, hey, vote for Ron Paul over Mitt Romney.
And how much energy have I given to that?
No,
it's okay. It's all right.
I think it's, like Here's I said, what happens. It's the Frasier show.
People aren't, there you go. People aren't in the room when you actually play his audio because Jeff actually laughs through the entire audio when Ron Paul's talking.
That doesn't mean that.
I'm just joking with you.
I know, but I'm saying the laughing part is because he doesn't realize what he's saying. I mean, he's a goofy character.
Is he like disconnected from reality? Well, listen to what he had to say because, well, just listen to it because it kind of speaks for itself, really.
Believe it or not, we did very well tonight and have a very, very strong second place, and it's going to continue. But, you know, we've had some good news today. Maybe you have seen, but there was a recent Reuters poll out just today. It's the first time that we came in second in a national poll in the Republican primary. And we do have to remember, you know, the straw vote is one thing, but then there's one other thing called delegates. Yeah. And that is where we excel. We know what to do about getting delegates. Even in a state that ended up a little confusing, you know, Nevada, I understand that we're going to do very well in Nevada in getting delegates. And of course, tonight, I've heard nothing but good stories about all of you staying around and going through the process, understanding the process, and voting and getting delegates. So when the dust settles, I think there's a very good chance that we're going to have the maximum number of delegates coming out of Minnesota.
His delivery in and of itself, Jeff types into my our communication screen, we're number two, we're number two. This is all about delegates for him. And Jeff,
turn on real quick.
Just so you
delegates.
Understand.
Delegates, yeah!
Just so you understand, when this August, when they're in Tampa for the convention, he's going to have his moment in the sun where he gets to take his delegates and give them to the nominee. Now, he's done this two other times, and so I've seen it. I mean, I've witnessed it now twice. He is going to, it's going to be his day. And you know, he'll get, this is something that's actually negotiated beforehand. So he'll get to negotiate when he gets to announce what he's going to do with his delegates and who he's going to support. And, of course, it's going to be the nominee, whoever the nominee is, probably Mitt Romney. But this is his moment in the sun. He gets his little, not so little, but he'll get the attention that, you know, he feels that he wanted in prime time. And it's got to be, in, you know, and these are all things you negotiate, you know, with the committee.
Isn't it disingenuous then? I mean, he's not really running for president. He's running for delegates so that he's a bigwig when the national committee comes
around. Absolutely. That's exactly what he's doing.
So if people are actually voting for him for president thinking, yeah, this will make a difference, he's actually, you know, I want him to be president, you're not voting for him to be president.
You're right. You're right. That's exactly what's happening. Now,
you know what you're voting for, right?
Delegates. Yeah. Delegates.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we get Newt Gingrich in here before the break. He, of course, like I said, did as worse as he's done in any of the contests so far. This is what he had to say after last night, through the three contests last night.
I think the big story coming out tonight is going to be that it's very hard for the elite media to portray Governor Romney as the inevitable nominee after tonight's over. I think you've seen a steady decline in turnout wherever he has been dumping his negative ads. You saw even in Nevada a real drop in the number of votes he got. I came in second, as I said. We're delighted. We split the total delegates between the Romney, not Romney side in a state he was supposed to carry. I think tonight he may be as much as 20 points behind in Colorado where he was 2 years or 4 years ago. I think he may be similarly behind in Minnesota from where he was 4 years ago. So I think after tonight you'll see this is a wide open race, and that you're going to see a lot of people out there campaigning. We're in the race all the way. I just talked to Governor Rick Perry today. We have a very strong operation in Texas. We have a very strong operation in Georgia. Our goal is through Super Tuesday, we then go to Alabama and Mississippi, and then we go to Texas. And our hope is by the time we get to Texas on April 6th, that we'll basically be pretty close to a tie with Governor Romney.
Okay. And then, you know, again, appreciate the delusional way that Newt Gingrich needs to look at this.
Maybe it'll be a tie for number two.
Yeah, what is your count? Again, you wrote me, so many people are happy being number two. Why do you write that?
Because he was like, we did very well here. We're number two. It seems like everyone's not, you know, they're not happy to be number one. They're all in on number two. Well, we're doing very well. We're number two. You're number two, for gosh sakes.
It is about delegates. You know that, don't you?
Is it for Newt?
For everybody.
See, Newt, don't you think Newt's main focus now is just ruining Romney? Because he keeps saying...
Oh, absolutely.
He keeps saying, well, Romney's numbers are down. Well, yeah, but so are yours. I mean, like, Santorum's the only one, and Paul, really. Those two guys went up, and you and Romney are taking each other down, but he's happy that at least Romney's going down.
Well, we can't say you're not paying attention, so that's for sure. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Okay, we come back. Karen Handel, no longer with the Komen Foundation, the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We've got an interview that she did on Fox News. There's a shocker. We'll break down what she had to say and why she's left. We'll get to all that on the other side. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
April DeBoer and Jane Rowell join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them. But in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, their rights are protected and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that a married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Karen Handel, who was until yesterday a strategic vice president with the Susan G. Komen Foundation and the Race for the Cure, she did resign in controversy. Of course, the controversy, as you probably are all well aware, is that the Susan G. Komen Foundation said they were no longer going to provide funding that was all going for breast cancer screening for women that could not afford them. Under the guise that they were being investigated by the federal government, which many claim is a bogus investigation, and it hasn't even begun to begin with. Even more saying that Karen Handel was the deciding factor in the decision to defund Planned Parenthood. The controversy continued to swirl to the point where people were pulling the support of the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Jeff, I have to tell you, in all of the years that I have been involved in politics, I have never seen something like this happen, where there was absolutely a drop-dead, stop what you're doing, we're not going to allow this to go any further situation, where the voice of the people mattered, where they're reaching out to others and making a stand and drawing a line in the sand worked the way this thing did.
It was pretty spectacular to witness.
Absolutely. Who was Karen? Who was interviewing Karen Handel? You just have
Megyn
Kelly. Megyn Kelly. I don't watch Fox News, so I wouldn't know who she is. Okay, Megyn Kelly is the interviewer. In this first bit of audio, Karen Handel, opening comments. This is what she had to say.
Well, first of all, I clearly acknowledge that I was involved in the process, but to suggest that I had the sole authority is just absurd. The process was vetted. The policies were vetted at all the appropriate levels in the organization. But I think the real point here is that, you know, let's all keep in mind, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, first of all, is a great organization. And the last time I checked, private nonprofit organizations have a right and a responsibility to be able to set the highest standards and criteria on their own without interference, let alone the level of vicious attacks and coercion that has occurred by Planned Parenthood. It's simply outrageous.
Well, outrageous or not, Karen, apparently you didn't understand the power that they had. She goes on to tell Megyn Kelly that she was amazed by the pushback.
Were you amazed by the pushback that followed when Susan G. Komen decided to defund Planned Parenthood?
You know, absolutely. I think, you know, for Komen, and, you know, obviously, please know I'm speaking for myself since I did resign this morning. And I want to clarify that. I resigned, Megyn, because it was clear that all of this had gotten to a point where it was ratcheted so high. I was too much of a focal point. And Susan G. Komen for the Cure is a truly great organization that has done wonderful things. It has made an extraordinary impact in the fight against breast cancer. And I really felt I had a responsibility to just step aside so that they could refocus on their mission.
All right. Well, that's kind of a cop-out. I'm going to let it go. But Megyn Kelly goes on to ask Karen Handel about her personal agenda, which I think is fair game. This is what she had to say.
You had run for office prior to joining Komen, and you had said you wanted to defund Planned Parenthood in terms of taxpayer dollars, and that you brought that agenda with you when you went to Komen. I'm not suggesting that that's right or wrong. I'm just trying to ask you whether that is true.
Absolutely not. For Komen, for myself, the mission was always foremost in everyone's mind, the mission and the women that we serve. And for anyone, the only group here who has made this issue political has been Planned Parenthood. And whenever an organization is looking at their granting portfolio, they want to do high-quality grants and have the strongest, most stringent criteria they can. And what was unleashed over this past week was a vicious attack against a great organization, and frankly, individual attacks against Nancy Brinker, an individual whom I admire greatly, and I would think all of us should be saddened that an outside organization would put this kind of pressure on another organization around their processes and granting and how they do it and to whom they are going to grant.
And I don't know, you know, and this is a question I'll throw it out before we get to the last piece of audio we have. Did Planned Parenthood make this political, or did they do what any responsible organization would do, when they are threatened to lose almost $1 million, is it okay to go to your base and say, I need your help? I don't think I have a problem with that. Karen Handel then goes on to say that even though Planned Parenthood was the only organization to be defunded, there were a lot of reasons. This is what she had to say as we wrap up this interview.
You know, I think the congressional investigation, along with the various state investigations, those were a factor in the decision. But make no mistake about it, you know, it was a bigger picture than that. There was a granting criteria as well as the controversies that were surrounding Planned Parenthood. And it's no secret, Megan, that, you know, Komen and other organizations that were funding Planned Parenthood had been under pressure for some years, long before my time, that had been going on, the pressure around the controversy. And, you know, I'm not going to get into, you know, too much on the internal aspects of things, but, you know, this organization had a right to make what it felt was the best decision for the mission, for the mission. And I think everyone can agree that if you have a grantee where there's this type of controversy surrounding it, Komen was doing its level best to move to neutral ground. And yeah. I will say, I was asked to look at options for doing that, some alternatives to do that. I was asked to do that. I looked at it, and I did.
All right, so here's the question, because she just kind of gives us the in and the out at the very end of that piece of audio. Jeff, here's the question that we ask ourselves. You know, if indeed they have a right to do all this, she's defending the Komen Foundation's right to do this, defended their right, and that they did do it, defends that, why is she no longer with them?
Exactly.
I mean, if it's okay to do all this, if they did nothing wrong, why did she resign?
Well, because she was the focal point. She wants the focal point to be more the Susan G. Komen Foundation. That's why you give up a very high-paying job in a prestigious office at Susan G. Komen. It's just silly. You know, what's even sillier is her saying, well, you know, even though I have a long history of trying to attack Planned Parenthood, there's absolutely no correlation between that and this. That just happens to be a wild coincidence.
Yeah, Karen Handel, I'm sure you're going to do fine. You'll find another job. You know, part of the problem with having a public record, I have one, you have to live with what you say. And you can't say one thing and try to be something else or pretend that you are something else. It just doesn't work that way. And so we move on. The one question that we don't have answered yet, and I did a little homework on this early this morning before I came in. Will they, although Karen Handel is gone, although they have said that they will consider funding Planned Parenthood in the future, have they, again, guaranteed that they would provide future funding? And I don't know that the Susan G. Komen Foundation has still done that yet, Jeff.
No, we have to wait and see. Yeah. I mean, until they do it again, then you'll be like, okay.
All right. In the next hour, Kevin Hawley, who is the Democrat running against Brooks Patterson in Oakland County for the county executive's job, will be our guest. Occupy Detroit will also occupy First Shift as well, so we've got a lot of stuff to get to as we work our way through this beautiful Wednesday morning. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. A quick break for the top of the hour. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news, and we will continue with First Shift after we take this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We are accident free out there, but we do have some delays. 96 eastbound between Kent Lake Road and Beck Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
With high pressure in place, the forecast from the National Weather Service is a pretty quiet one. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 36. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 23. And then Thursday, sunny, a high near 41. Right now, it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, Rick Santorum swept the Republican presidential contest in Missouri, Minnesota, and Colorado. He says winning Colorado, thought to be a Romney stronghold, shows he is not just a regional candidate.
That's a state that people would say, oh, you know, how can Rick Santorum do well in Colorado? Well, we did, and that's not a region. That's out west. That's the Rocky Mountains, and that's a very different area of the country than Iowa.
CNN senior political analyst David Gergen says Mitt Romney's campaign could suffer from losing yet another Midwestern state.
Here's Mitt Romney now, the front runner, and he's lost 2 out of 3 Midwestern states so far. He looks like he's behind in the third. That is not good news for a Republican front runner, and it's obviously great news for Rick Santorum.
The Maine caucuses are going on this week, with results from those coming this weekend. An activist group says at least 47 more people were killed in violence in Syria today. UN Ambassador Susan Rice says she believes President Bashar al-Assad won't be in power much longer.
The Assad regime is on its last legs, that the pressure is increasing, the economy is crumbling.
The fight over a White House policy requiring Catholic institutions to cover contraception in the health insurance plans continues. CNN's Brianna Keeler says the White House is letting it be known this isn't necessarily a hard and fast rule.
The White House kind of softening its stance on this, signaling that it's open to working with these religiously affiliated employers in this amount of time that we have before us before this rule kicks into place.
Meanwhile, Texas health officials have begun enforcing a controversial law that requires doctors to provide a sonogram to pregnant women before they get an abortion. The government of Brazil has filed a lawsuit against Twitter demanding the site suspend the accounts of users who tip drivers off to police roadblocks and speed traps. The government's seeking fines of $290,000 for each day that Twitter or traffic whistleblowers fail to comply. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. The easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
A week after Facebook filed papers for a springtime initial stock offering, there's a complaint about its lack of diversity. The California State Teachers Retirement System, or CalSTRS, already is a large shareholder in Facebook through its private equity allocation and says it likely will become a large public shareholder as well. But it's challenging Facebook in an open letter, lamenting the fact its board has no woman members. Rally in the oil market following word we are burning up more oil. American Petroleum Institute finds U.S. oil supply fell unexpectedly last week as demand for petrol products, including gasoline, increased, suggesting economic improvement, but also a future with even higher prices. In early trades, oil futures up $1 to $99.50 a barrel. Rising hope Greece and the European Union can work out a deal to rescue the nation's struggling economic system is boosting European stocks. Following the Dow's highest close since May 2008, U.S. stock futures are up again. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. They say his tiny size symbolizes $10 off the regular price on select TurboTax software this week. $10 off is a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the TurboTax display anyway. And he's out cold. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Good on TurboTax Deluxe or higher.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Merriman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountemps.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Merriman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even bump it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 8th, 2012 program. Pleasure to be with you. I've got a great hour of radio lined up for you. In fact, very excited to introduce my first guest in this hour, and we'll get to him in just a moment. Jeff was nice enough to send me a nice resource. What are some of the top Republican strategists saying about Rick Santorum's victories, plural, yesterday? And interestingly kind of reflects what we were talking about earlier in the show. But we'll get to that in a little while. We'll have a little time for open lines. And, of course, Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at 7:50. So we have a full hour of radio. And I'm actually looking forward to 8:30 because we are going to have some open line time, which we haven't had in a while. So looking forward to getting to all that. But let me turn my attention now to my next guest. As many of you know, we've been covering this story pretty thoroughly. L. Brooks Patterson had de-invited Democratic commissioners to the State of the County address this evening. And his reasons for doing it were really for showboating reasons. At a time where we should be worrying and thinking about how to better move the county along, you know, whether you live in Oakland County or not. You know, when we talk about regional government, Oakland County is as important as anything. We, you know, you'll remember when we were talking about Troy last week, certainly in Oakland County, part of that, you know, part of that economic engine we talk about is about Oakland County. L. Brooks Patterson, who has not really had a serious challenge. And, folks, with all due respect to Brenda Loris, she did not give him a serious challenge the last time around. And there's a reason for that. I don't think that they've ever had the right candidate with the right experience at the right time. That's changing. And joining me now is the guy that is the game changer. His name is Kevin Hawley. He has an amazing business background. He understands what it takes to do, what it's going to take to win. He understands what it takes to lead, and he understands what it will take to move Oakland County. And you're going to be surprised by some of the stuff he's going to share with you near the bottom of municipalities nationally and what can be done to turn that around. Kevin Hawley, welcome to First Shift. A pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, it is truly my pleasure. You know, we almost passed each other in the hallway about a year ago. I was interviewing for a job. You were the interim director at Affirmations. I was interviewing for a job. I didn't get it, but happy to be where I'm at now, Kevin. No hard feelings. You did an amazing job helping them through a transition. In fact, Kevin, I can suggest that when you went from the private sector to the nonprofit sector, you've done an amazing job at helping companies to grow rapidly or to deal with transitions in a fairly uncommon way. I've got to ask, with all of the business success you've had, why would you put yourself in a position to have to run for public office. I mean, this is a monumental task.
Well, and to be fair, I get that question all the time from my friends and my family. I think part of it is timing. I was had finished up my last project in the end of the summer last year, and was going to take some time off and maybe go back to the private sector. And I started reading in the paper, the Free Press did some coverage on kind of what is really happening in Oakland County in terms of poverty, the demographics, the economic changes in the county. And if you were to kind of listen to a lot of the media, you would say, hey, it's all sunshine and roses. But there are some systemic issues. And then I started doing my own research. And honestly, I just got a little ticked off thinking, okay, somebody's got to talk about these issues and bring the issues to the table. So that's really kind of what motivated me to get into this race.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we take a look at, let's just kind of for a moment, let's, Kevin Holly focus on the state of the county address this evening. I'm not as concerned about what L. Brooks Patterson is going to say because, of course, he's going to wrap his message in sunshine. Tell us that he's balanced the budget yet again, which is not a bad thing. I'm not suggesting that it is. But I don't know I do actually know that doesn't tell the whole story. You know, you just talked about that economically what's happening. We happen to know that because on this show we cover these issues extensively, that from a poverty, the poverty numbers in Oakland County are disastrous if you take a serious look at them. And we also know one other thing, Kevin, there's no plan to address that. Would you, as county executive, have a plan to address some of these issues?
Well, and that's what I find most disconcerting, because I feel like a lot of the initiatives that we've undertaken over the last decade, we've kind of been throwing darts at the dartboard rather than having taken a real strategic look to say, okay, what are our strengths in the county, and how do we leverage those strengths? And the other part of it is just the process to look at initiatives that can move the county forward. In its 2009 address, Patterson talked about how this emerging sectors program got started, and it was really taking the 10 fastest-growing sectors in the country and saying, well, let's go after those. Well, you know, do those fit? Do those sectors fit in Oakland County? And I guess my approach would be very, very different. I would really try to engage the entire community. We've got a strong university base here, a strong business base, very active communities and diverse communities. Bring those folks to the table to talk about where are we going to be in Oakland County 2025.
You know, and if we were to take a, and let me just ask you this question, and I'm not asking you to give us your entire platform. I assure you, Kevin, we're going to have you on the show many, many times between now and November.
That's great.
Absolutely, because I think it's important that your message gets out, and we're happy to help you do that. So I'm not asking you to, start giving me policy initiatives, but I do want to know, with regard, I can't imagine, of all the things that need to be fixed, and I don't care how great Oakland County's doing, jobs will fix almost any problem we have. Are you going to be able to come up with a jobs program that's specific to the county that will attract new industry and new businesses to the county?
Well, and I think that focus has to be on the county. If you look at what's going on in Washtenaw County, they've got a venture capital hub in Ann Arbor. If you look at what's going on in downtown Detroit right now, if you look at from the river up to West Grand Boulevard, venture capitalists are moving into that area and creating jobs. Jobs are coming to that area. And I have to question, why is that not happening in Oakland County? We have to look at our landscape. We have to be able to go out and talk about what we're the best at. We have to be able to attract capital. And I really think that venture capital core is important. So that's one thing that I want to look at. The other thing is we've started quite a number of initiatives. And my question is, how should we better focus our budget? You mentioned earlier that the budget just gets balanced every year, but the reality is we're not doing it strategically. Where should we be investing and disinvesting to focus on the stuff that's really having an impact? Do an evaluation of all of our programs. What are the programs that are working, and leverage those even further? So some of this is going to take some work. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. It's got to be planned and plotted, but it's got to be a thoughtful approach. We've not had that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about tonight. It is the State of the County address. I said that the Democratic County Commissioners were de-invited to the address. I'm not asking you to necessarily just criticize Brooks Patterson for doing it, but I would certainly like your impression on on what this looks like to you, forcing these people that, you know, show up to work every day to help the county, and the Democrats, of course, are working as hard as anybody to help the county stay viable. To do what Brooks Pederson is doing sends what message, Kevin Hawley?
Well, it's really disconcerting because one of the things that attracts businesses, you know, it's location, 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 and you want to feel comfortable in the location that you're going to be in, that there is some stability around the government units that you're working with. And this just does not make us look stable. You know, we've had this dust up in Troy that has given us sort of a black eye around regional transit and some diversity issues. And then we have all these games being played, and people need to be able to trust the environment they're moving into. So I just think, apart from the game playing, you know, we can talk about whether that's just juvenile and all that, but the reality is giving Oakland County a black eye. It makes it look silly.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and there's no question, and I just find it, it's asinine. At a time where, you know, we need to be working together. And I think, Kevin, in so many ways you're right, this idea that, you know, you can just hang your hat on the balanced budget, and for the majority of people, you know, that Brooks Pederson thinks for the majority of people that's going to be good enough, apparently he doesn't get out much. He's not talking to people that live in the county. He's not understanding some of the challenges that the people that live in Oakland County are dealing with, because it's not just for them about a balanced budget. It's about them being able to balance their own budgets. And frankly, we know the majority of people in Oakland County right now cannot do that.
Absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, you know, this balanced budget issue is something that Brooks has hung his hat on for a long time. And it is important. I mean, well, by law, we have to balance our budget. So, we don't want to give too many kudos for balancing the budget, but the real question is, how are we doing it, and how are we helping the people that will be able to really bring some strength to the county? And I think the other part of it is the old saying, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. Under the Pederson watch, look what has happened in Pontiac with the emergency financial manager there. Are there things the county could have done to support Pontiac, not necessarily financially? You know, nobody wants to move resources around. Every community wants to have resources for their own community. But from a leadership perspective, from a partnership perspective, you know, the Oakland County executive job, it's not like you can go out tomorrow and create businesses. It doesn't happen. You're creating an environment. You're creating an attitude. You're creating some momentum. All of those things, it really involves enlightened leadership. And we just don't have that right now.
All right. Again, we are going to, and tonight, Kevin, by the way, will be responding to the State of the County address. Kevin, before we let you go this morning, is there a website or something I can send people to that are interested in your campaign?
Well, we've just kind of started the campaign, so we're working on the website. But the Facebook page for the campaign right now, tracking some of these things, is Friends of Kevin Hawley.
Absolutely. I saw it. In fact, joined it yesterday. So, Kevin, we will have you back again many, many times. Thank you for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to watching you grow into this new role as candidate.
Thanks. I'm not a politician, so every day I've kind of learned a little bit more.
Well, it's probably going to work in your favor, Kevin, honestly. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Folks, a very quick break here. We're open lines on their site if you want to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No accidents out there, but we do have some slowdowns on I-96 eastbound between Kent Lake Road and Beck Road. Also, 696 westbound between DeClinder and 75. That's backed up, as is northbound 75, from around 11 mile up to 12 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 36, tonight mostly clear, a low in the lower 20s, and then Thursday, sunny, a high near 41. Right now it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Charlie LaDuff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, he's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the magic carpet ride stopped, we're blown, we got nothing left, and the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money, why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. What about chauffeurs with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas is making $200,000.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after the hour, again, my thanks to Kevin Hawley, the answer to Oakland County, and certainly the answer to L. Brooks Patterson. We'll get to know him quite well as we work our way through the campaign season, so look forward to us having him on often so that we can get to know him better. Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny. Craig Robinson writes, Rick Santorum has now more states, has won more states than Romney has, and spent $30 million less doing it. Ari Fleischer, President Bush's former press secretary, there are no delegates won tonight, but there is a new winner. Just watch the boost the press gives Santo for a day or two. David Gergen, the Romney bandwagon just went into a ditch. Mark Makowiak, whatever that is. Tonight's election results didn't matter until they did. That's a great one. I love that one. Michael Blundo, so at Rick Santorum now has won more states than Mitt Romney, a good day for conservatives. Eric Erickson, God bless Santorum, conviction beats electability. R.C. Hammond, the mighty Mitt is falling. Fredoso, whoever that is, don't know who that is. This is going from a nice boost for Santorum to an unmitigated disaster for Romney, which is basically a reflection of what I said earlier. And Philip Klein ends the list as he began the list. To be clear, I still think Romney will win the nomination, but if he can lose Colorado, he can lose almost anywhere. And that is undeniably true.
I did see another one that didn't make the list that said Mitt Romney's finding out that, much like love, you can't buy an election.
Oh, well, that's true. That is true. I don't, you know, again, I'm a little bit surprised that this is not going as well for Mitt Romney as you would think.
I had the feeling a day or two ago, especially watching CNN, Fox News, that basically, well, Mitt Romney was trying to get Santorum, like, hey, buddy, just, you know, it's me and Newt, like, kind of step aside so that we, you know, I can get the nominee and we can get on to things because, well, you know, we're wasting each other's cash. And meanwhile, you know, he's building up Obama as this guy who's got a ton of cash to spend on the election. And you're really hurting us by still staying in, Rick. I mean, you have no chance. And it sounds like, you know, CNN was on board with that. Like, Mitt Romney will be the nominee. So what's the big deal? Why are these guys staying in? And now suddenly, you know, the sentiment has changed.
Well, it is changing. I mean, my honest assessment is that Mitt Romney will be the nominee. It's not going to be Santorum. It's not going to be Gingrich. It's certainly not going to be Ron Paul. And this is just a small little blip in the bigger picture. But I think, again, it's indicative of the fact that the Republicans out there in this great land of ours are not enamored to Mitt Romney. I think this says more about Mitt Romney than it says about Rick Santorum. It hurts Mitt more than it helps Rick. And it certainly doesn't help Newt at all. And although I appreciate Newt's spin on all this, the bottom line is he did not perform well at all yesterday. And again, and I'm not going to play it again, but Newt's little speech after he lost last night, if you were to listen to him, Jeff, it sounded like everything was great in his camp.
Oh, he's enjoying it because he has one mission.
He's number two. He's number two
as well.
he's ignoring Michigan. In fact, the only one that's really not ignoring Michigan is Mitt Romney. Rick Santorum will be in Michigan over the next couple of weeks, but he's not going to be in Detroit. He's going to be in Jackson. He's going to be in some of the smaller markets where it's not going to really matter. And so I think everybody's pretty much conceding Michigan to Mitt Romney, and maybe that's a safe strategy. I was kind of hoping to see a fight. I'll be honest with you. I was hoping to see a fight. I was hoping we were going to get some of these, major cable buys and watch some of these super PAC ads. I don't think we're going to get much of it, though, unfortunately.
You do make a good point, though. The fight continues on. Maybe not in Michigan, but, you know, the fight continues on with these people. I thought it was, you know, coming to an end, like dying off. But now, no, I mean, we're going to continue to see, I guess, more great debates. I don't know about that.
Well, Super Tuesday is coming up in early March, and that could be that could spell the end of it for everybody except for the nominee. And we'll, you know, again, we'll have to see how it plays out. Now, if that's a split decision or if somehow Newt Gingrich ends up winning in Arizona, which is possible, it could happen, that changes the dynamic there a great deal. But it's all very, very interesting. Anyway. Hey, let me, you know, remind people, because, you know, this could, you know, maybe you want to send some flowers to the front or the also-rans yesterday, or maybe to the winner, Rick Santorum. I don't know. But, you know, it is that time of year. It is Valentine's Day, and we're fortunate enough here at First Shift to have partnered with ProFlowers.com to provide you some really neat opportunities to get some flowers for the people you care about. Could be a man or a woman. Doesn't necessarily have to be for her. Want to tell you about a brand new deal. It's 100, listen to me, 100 blooms. That's right, 100 flowers. Just an amazing deal. And all you need to do is go to proflowers.com. At the very top, you're going to see a microphone. On the top right, you're going to just type in there Tony T. And that's all you need to do. And once you do that, go and order your flowers. I'm suggesting today the 100 blooms of love. That's right, the 100 blooms of love. $39.99 is what it costs. And all you have to do is go to proflowers.com, or you can call 1-800-PROFLOWERS And again, mention the code Tony T. So you can either go to the website and do it where you see the microphone at the top right, or you can call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention the code Tony T. Or if you're going to the website, type in the code Tony T, and you're going to ask for the 100 Flowers of Love. I think it's cool. The Blooms of Love, 100 Blooms of Love. It is a gorgeous, by the way, a gorgeous arrangement. So, you know, again, if you want to send flowers to the Santorum campaign, the Romney campaign, or to just someone you love.
The
Ron Paul campaign. They need love, don't they? Anyway, it's all available at proflowers.com. But you got to remember, you've got to remember not to forget your loved one, whether that's a man or a woman. And men like flowers, too. Jeff, has anybody ever sent you flowers?
No.
Oh, I've been sent flowers.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind?
Roses.
Okay, what kind of flowers are manly that you send to a man? Roses seem pretty manly, I would say.
Yeah, I got roses. Not just from my wife and then not from another woman. I got them from people I've done business with that congratulated me for something. Yeah, I've received flowers, you know, half a dozen times in my life. A little odd for a guy to get them, but I appreciated them nonetheless, and they were beautiful. And one of my, you know, I've had a couple clients send me flowers as well. So, yeah, it's nice. Proflowers.com is where you want to go to. All right, we take a quick break here. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. When we come back, Bill O'Reilly says that the hardcore conservatives just don't have the mojo anymore. What do you think? Let's take the break and we'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Still looking at some slow traffic on 75 southbound between 14 Mile down through 8 Mile, the 96 eastbound between Ken Lake Road and Beck Road. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 36. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 23. And then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 41. Quick look at Friday, a chance of snow showers, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-30s. Right now, it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Association of Flight Attendants says with Senate passage of the FAA reauthorization bill, collective bargaining rights were attacked by Republicans and Democrats alike. The union says corporate interests and right-wing ideologues used this vital piece of legislation to destroy collective bargaining affecting workers across the country. Inserted in the bill are measures making it much harder for workers to form and sustain unions. The union says 157 House Democrats and 15 Senate Democrats stood with workers in their votes on the FAA bill, but the rest of Congress approved the attack on collective bargaining. The next big vote in Congress for workers is the extension of federal unemployment benefits, which must be done by February 28th. And once again, anti-worker lawmakers are trying to insert punitive measures into the extension. The Center for Law and Social Policy says one such measure would deny jobless benefits to workers without a high school diploma or equivalent if they can't demonstrate they're enrolled in a credential program. That's kicking the most vulnerable workers while they're down, according to CLASP senior policy analyst Neil Ridley. He says while it's a good idea to motivate the workers to get the education they need to succeed, imposing this new requirement is punitive and misguided. According to a Washington Post ABC poll, 72% of Americans support raising taxes on millionaires, while 68% believe the tax code is rigged in favor of the wealthy. President Obama also leads GOP presidential contender Mitt Romney on the issue of who is trusted to handle tax policy by 52 to 42%. Obama also leads Romney in the poll on who is best to protect the middle class by a whopping 55 to 37% margin.
The World Cup has been a lightning rod for workers seeking better salaries and benefits, and this year is no different as the workers building Brazil's stadium and renovating soccer fields are threatening to go on strike. While the country has already seen pockets of strikes by workers seeking unified salaries, benefits, and working conditions, the country could soon see a strike in all 12 host cities. The pressure is being put on construction companies who have been treating workers differently based on which venue they're working on. The union representing the workers says that must stop and everyone should be treated equally. The action could come as early as next month. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. A pleasure to be with you. Bill O'Reilly. In a discussion with Charles Krauthammer on Fox News yesterday, or the Fox News channel, we're talking about the age of conservatism and whether or not conservatives, again, are happy with the current GOP field. Anyway, this is what Bill O'Reilly had to say. I'll comment on the other side of the audio.
The world is changing, and in the Nevada vote, most people who describe themselves as conservative voted for Mitt Romney. So I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did, for example, in the Reagan era. I think that the changes in the world have made problem solving rise above conservative ideology.
And just so you know, that Charles Krauthammer totally disagreed with Bill O'Reilly, and that's fine. But it does bring up an interesting and I think an important question. I'll throw it out to you. 888-552-3595. Has America woke up to the reality of what conservatism means, or maybe more importantly, doesn't mean for the majority of us? Do you think that we have finally figured out as a society that being a conservative more often than not means that we care less about others, that we have an agenda that is not consistent with our upbringing, that a conservative philosophy is often more about how can I protect and take away from others as opposed to, inviting everybody to the picnic and sharing what's in my basket? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, conservatives have really kind of painted themselves as very strict, ideological, religious fanatics that don't really represent the majority view of what we expect America to be. It's an interesting idea. And how did it get to that point? Well, you know, certainly the Tea Party has to wear some of that. There's no question that that's true. And I believe that, you know, as we take a look at the waning influence of the Tea Party, Dick Armey, who is their leading spokesperson, has said that, you know, they've given up on trying to have influence for the White House. And I think that that makes a lot of sense. In that there is no way, there is no way for the Tea Party to embrace Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich. Neither one of them represent what they do. Rick Santorum most likely does. Ron Paul doesn't to a large degree. And so they can't really endorse a candidate for the presidency. So they've decided that they're going to focus on Congress, maybe on dog catcher, you know, local races. But that may, and that's not even may, it probably won't be enough. And there's a good reason why they're not, the conservatives are having a tough time. So if you have some thoughts on that, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. And I always find it interesting when Bill O'Reilly says anything I kind of agree with, it makes me a little nervous. Want to send you all to eclectablog.com. Chris Savage has a couple pieces up there that, and I'm not going to get into them in detail, but you might want to check out. And actually, you should save Eclectablog to your favorites and check it on a daily basis because there's always a lot of really good stuff there. I just want to let you know, Mr. Radford, that my buddy Patrick, who I'm having lunch with today, says that I'm being a little crabby towards you. Do you feel like I'm being crabby towards you today?
No, just playing around, having fun, all right. I guess.
Just want to make sure, because I don't mean to be. If I am, I apologize.
Well, I appreciate that, Patrick. Way to stick up for solidarity.
You know, that's just with Patrick, you know, that's really more about, again, it's not about helping you, it's about getting at me. Uh-huh. Kind of like the Santorum Romney thing. I'm just joking. Anyway, Patrick, looking forward to having lunch today. Truly, I haven't seen Patrick in a while, so it'll be nice. You know, and again, I want to, this whole idea, let me just, for a moment, and I posted this to the Facebook page yesterday. The article is, Michigan Treasury Department Advisor, emergency managers are kinder, gentler alternative to bankruptcy. And that may or may not be true. You know, I'm just going to tell you that, you know, again, you go to eclectablog.com and you read about the forum they did in Ann Arbor last night on Public Act 4 Emergency Manager Bill. You read that article about, you know, that, you know, Public Act 4 is better than bankruptcy. It's still about weakening our democracy. At the end of the day, Public Act 4 is about weakening democracy. There's nothing you can say that's going to convince me otherwise, because there's nothing you can say that erases the fact that it takes away our duly elected responsibilities and purely what democracy stands for. And when you take away democracy, that doesn't strengthen a community. It can't strengthen a community. And if you can't work through things from a democratic way, utilizing the talents of those that you elected to represent you, well, then there's a remedy for that. It's called a recall. And, you know, it may not be the most preferential way to do it, but to certainly saddle a community with a lack of opportunity by taking away their democratic rights is just plain and dead wrong, and it bothers me a great deal. It really does. And so that's that. All right, let me. This is good. I can get through some good stuff here. And this one's going to disturb you, but we need to have this conversation. An article again, Jeff sent me yesterday. Gas price hike. Expect $4 a gallon, or perhaps $6 by spring. The national average for a gallon of regular gasoline right now is about $3.50, as most of you know. That's significantly below the highest ever, yet the price of $4.11, we all remember that, hit during the summer of 2008. Nonetheless, 2011 was the overall priciest year ever for gasoline, and the most expensive January ever for gas is the month that just passed by. Many experts anticipate prices will top $4 by springtime, and those seem to be the experts who are playing it safe with their estimates. During the typical January, gas prices drop. Cold weather trends tend to keep drivers indoors, and the need to pay off holiday season splurges tends to keep consumers off roads to trim fuel expenses. Together, these forces add up to a decline in both the demand and price for gas. Not so much this year, folks. The story is very different. As the Los Angeles Times reports, the average price for a gallon of regular was $3.37 in January. Previously, the highest average price for January was $3.09. And that was last year, 2011. Prices don't seem to be leveling off either. AAA Fuel Gauge says the national average on Monday stood at $3.48, up from $3.36 one month ago. If events proceed as the consensus of experts expect, increases in seasonal and global demand will cause gas prices to creep up to $4 a gallon by summer or early spring. And here's another analyst's take per USA Today, quoting Tom Closa of the Oil Price Information Service. I think he says it's going to be a chaotic spring with huge price increases in some places. Closa predicts a national average that peaks at 405, and he and others say that in New York, and New York City, Washington, California, Hawaii, and other spots where gas prices are typically much higher than the U.S. average, prices may top $4.50 a gallon. But, folks, it may get worse. All of these forecasts, though, don't factor in the possibility that the Middle East could make a chaotic spring even more chaotic. The Gas Buddy blog highlights some recent interviews with U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, in which Panetta discusses the likelihood of an Israeli air attack on Iran. If those attacks happen, it's not crazy to anticipate the price of oil quickly doubling, surpassing $200 a barrel. Gas Buddy estimates how such a price hike would translate at the pump. Are you ready for this? So if you're seeing $3.50 a gallon in your local market and Israel attacked today, add $2.50 to that, and now you're looking at $6 a gallon. If Israel instead took action in the spring, at which point most gas prices are already expected to hover around $4 regardless of strife in the Middle East, then prices would go even higher. If an attack occurs at the same time that you add the same $2.50 increase that reflects crude oil at $200 a barrel, then as incredible as it sounds, if Secretary Panetta and intelligence reports are correct, your gasoline would be $6.50 a gallon. You don't think that's possible? Think again. All of it. All of what I just said. It all matters. Folks, everything factors in. So this idea that the price of gas and how many, and I know you've all heard it because some of you even said it, but how many times have somebody said, well, it's an election year, the price of gas will go down? Not so fast, folks. And by the way, the President of the United States does not have anything to do with the price of a gallon of gasoline. Why people still continue to believe that myth is beyond me, but the President of the United States does not set gas prices, period. Now, of course, the last thing we need is gas to go to $6 a gallon. We are still in a very stressed economy. No one can afford that kind of price for a gallon of gasoline. Heck, I would have to think about yelling in the show instead of actually showing up to the studio. I'd just scream from the house. At $6 a gallon, sweet Jesus, that's a problem. But it's going to be a problem for all of us. Occupy Detroit. Occupies First Shift. When we return from the break, stay with us. Lots to do here on First Shift as we work our way through this Wednesday morning. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. And if people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to because there's a lot of good information. Keep everybody abreast.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food
food and commercial workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And indeed, it is time, and we are happy to welcome back to First Shift Lee Geddes. And Lee, it's a pleasure to have you back on the program. I got to tell you, we're going to talk today about a topic that we have not yet covered on this show. So I'm going to assume that you know a whole lot more about this whole districting process for the city of Detroit than I do. And so I'm going to be leaning heavily on you for information this morning, my good friend. How are you?
I am doing great, Tony. And it's a topic that I've been following for about 5 years now, because when you talk about division of power, it hits to the heart of our democracy.
Yeah, no, there's no question that's true. Let's you know, for those that that are new to this, the city of Detroit is going to be. And there was a great piece. In fact, if you can, Jeff, let's play that piece that you pulled from Fox 2 from last night to give the audience a little background on what we're talking about here.
Take a look at Detroit City Council, because after the next election, it could look a lot different. 7 council members will be elected based on districts. 2 will be at large. And these are the formats on the table. Council members, attorneys, and staffers spent about half an hour explaining the strengths of the 4 options. But guess which one was the most popular amongst these Southwest Detroiters Tuesday night?
It's my plea and stronger recommendation the council considers option number 5.
I'm a lifelong resident of Southwest Detroit, and if I had to choose one, I would also go with number 5.
My choice would be option 5.
How come this is not being presented? Because it's not part of the program?
Tonight we have 4 maps to show. We can't show you the map of data for Detroit.
Just the fact that people are bringing this to the community meeting and saying this is what they want to do is really telling.
Especially since option 5 isn't even part of the city's presentation. Detroit think tank Data Driven Detroit created this map, and Corktown resident Vince Keenan knows why it's so popular.
We're good. That gives us, I think, a general idea, Lee, of what's going on. You know, I guess I have to ask the question. You know, this is an Occupy Detroit segment. What does that have to do with the districts in Detroit?
Well, because Occupy Detroit is rooted in the community. As you know, our winter campaign is all about getting into the Detroit communities and being a force multiplier. And right now, this is what people in the community are talking about. You know, this and the emergency manager law are two of the hottest topics at any community council meeting that you go to, our block club meetings. These are the two big things that are on the residents of Detroit's mind. And right now, what they know is that the way the maps that the city is presenting are arbitrary. They have one city council district that's divided up horizontally, another map that's divided up laterally, and then another map that's divided up by the voting precincts, which have nothing to do with the community boundaries or how the community operates. And then a fourth map, which gives downtown three city council people. So that if you have downtown having three city council people, all Manny Maroon has to do is buy two people at large, and now they control the budgets of Detroit and how that money is spent. And what option five does, so we want to reject all four of these right out of hand and start the process new with community, with the communities in mind at the heart of this process versus, the law department just drawing, lines on a map without any consideration of the residents or the communities that live there and how they work and function together. And Occupy Detroit, is working to strengthen those community connections and bonds, you know, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community. And that's what we're trying to do to make sure that Detroiters are connected together, that information flows through these communities so that you can't put the east side versus the west side, northwest Detroit versus southwest Detroit. You know, we are acting as one unified community of residents to move Detroit together as a whole. And I think that the maps that they presented are very divisive in the way that they've divided up the city and don't take the community into heart. And like I said, map four is just straight out a power grab by people who want Detroit to be 2 square miles of downtown.
Ultimately, who makes the decision of what these districts will look like?
City council. But they're taking their direction from RAD, from the law department, which tries to confuse the issue and eat up a lot of community time with a lot of mumbo jumbo, with a lot of words that say absolutely nothing. You know, what we are talking about is a community-based model that takes into account how communities and neighborhoods function. For example, the 12th Precinct Neighborhood Coalition is a coalition of 15 different community councils. So wouldn't it make sense to keep those functioning communities together in a district and not divide them up? You know, you're talking about 50 to 90,000 residents that are already working together to improve their and to improve their community. You know, and again, when you talk about option five takes that into consideration, and that's why it's so popular with the residents of Detroit, and that's why people are actually coming out and presenting this option. And I think that the city, if they thought about how communities function when they design these maps, they would have more support for the districts that are created versus the four options that are presented, which are created by the law department and a bureaucracy that is obviously out of touch with the residents of Detroit and what the needs and wants are of that community.
Yeah, that seems, Lee, to be the reality. Let me go to the phone very quickly because we don't have a lot of time, and welcome Charles in Detroit to the show. Charles, go ahead. You're on the air with Lee Gaddis.
Yeah, I'm totally in touch with the community, worker council. The presentations from the council are based on the legal requirements, which is that they be equal, approximately equal in population, compact and contiguous. You know, that must be, you don't have any choice on that. So what RAD is presenting is required. You can't do it differently than what is done there. Also, the whole thing of districts is a fraud perpetrated on the people. Council members are not allowed to give directions to department heads, so there will not be a council member who can get things for the district. The whole process of districts divides up the community in a way that they haven't been divided.
Yeah, and that's really the problem. We're going to just have to, and Lee, we're out of time. We're just going to have to revisit this because it's obviously a much bigger issue than we have time for right now. But I believe it's, what is it, February 16th that they're going to vote on this?
17th, yeah.
17th. All right, so we got to stay on top of it. Lee, thanks so much for your time. We've got a break to the top of the hour. Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press when we continue here on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Jim Warner, we're looking at some delays out there in the Lodge, southbound between McNichols and the Davison. Also, 94 westbound between Maross and 75, you're going to find some slowdowns for that entire stretch. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, today mostly sunny, a high near 36, tonight mostly clear, a low around 23, and then tomorrow, sunny, a high around 41. Right now, it's fair and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, you didn't really think you had the Republican presidential race figured out, did you? The polls were wrong. A lot of people were blindsided, and Rick Santorum won all three of yesterday's contests. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live to try to sort it all out. Bob?
Well, Jim, even Rick Santorum, who scored wins in Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri, seemed surprised by the roller coaster message Republican voters are sending.
Usually, after the first five states, this race is pretty much decided. Now we're in a little bit of a no man's land.
Even before the votes were tabulated, presumed frontrunner Mitt Romney's campaign sent out a message downplaying expectations. CNN political analyst David Gergen.
The Romney bandwagon just went in a ditch. That's not to say he can't get it out. It's not to say he can't win.
The results are more a pulse taking of the moment, though. No actual delegates to the convention were awarded in any state. Jim?
That's our Bob Costantini in Washington. The U.S. and other Western countries are trying to come up with new ideas to deal with the government crackdown in Syria now that it's clear nothing will happen at the U.N. Middle East analyst Fawaz Jurjis says it's a tricky issue because one of America's biggest enemies is playing a major role.
Iran is very committed to helping Assad because Assad is the only ally that Iran has in the region, and that's why we're talking about a very complicated and complex struggle.
Authorities in Pierce County, Washington have released the 911 tape from the social worker who called to report that Josh Powell had blown up his home last weekend with him and his two young sons inside. In this part of the tape, the social worker tells the operator there were people inside the home when it blew up.
Yes, there was a man and two children. I just dropped off the children and he wouldn't let me in the door.
Funeral services for the two boys are scheduled for Saturday afternoon. Stocks are rising in Europe, Asia, and in New York. The Dow, as a matter of fact, is at its highest level now since May 2008. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Grainger, the best resource for all your industrial supply needs, offers a service called KeepStock, which helps businesses manage inventory, making it much easier to know what you have and quickly order what you need. They can help you put a method to the madness of tracking, organizing, and ordering any size inventory, turning even the most intimidating storage space into an easy-to-maintain supply paradise. To find out more, visit Grainger.com/KeepStock. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
The now-ended partnership between Walgreen and pharmacy benefit manager Express Scripts is expected to create new business for Walgreen's drugstore rivals. And this morning, Walgreen arch rival CVS is hiking its full-year earnings forecast on that expectation. CVS Caremark also reporting earnings from the fourth quarter. They matched expectations. Sales exceeded forecasts. CVS stock is rising in pre-market trades. The marquee at Yahoo listing the names of those running the company keeps needing to be updated. Out 5 months ago was the CEO, fired. Out last month was Yahoo's co-founder, quit. Now four directors, including the chairman, say they will not face re-election to the board. All this as the company struggles to find its way and is now worth only half what it was worth 4 years ago when Yahoo said no to a buyout offer for Microsoft. U.S. stock futures up a little bit. S&P futures gaining one. NASDAQ futures up four. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. They say his tiny size symbolizes $10 off the regular price on select TurboTax software this week. $10 off is a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the TurboTax display anyway. And he's out cold. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Good on TurboTax Deluxe or higher.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
How do our corporate tax returns look, Merriman?
Not good, Mr. Fernwell. We owe $12.8 billion.
Impossible! I'm calling Bob from Accountants.
Good idea, sir. You think he can loan us the money?
Bob's a corporate tax whiz, Merriman. Knows it all. State, federal. He'll straighten this mess out.
Meantime, I've got money to raise. How about I wash your car for you?
What?
I'll even bump it with a soft chamois. How's $175,000 sound?
Call Accountants for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountants, a Robert Half Company.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. We do have time as well for open lines at 8:35. Again, we are always welcome to join the show. If we have a guest, we just ask that you stay topical to our guest. The number for the show, as always, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Of course, it's Wednesday. That means one thing. And give me my intro, and we'll get going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
None of this is going to be able to be fixed without cash, which is something we don't have right now in Detroit and don't have that much in the state. But there are some big ticket things that need to be done that can't be done for free.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
That's where you get into the idea that this is going to cost, and not just Detroiters, this is going to cost people all over the state of Michigan to try to dig Detroit fully out of this hole.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now, indeed, is Mr. Stephen Henderson. Stephen, a pleasure to have you back this Wednesday morning.
Morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. Interestingly, because I never know what you're going to suggest from week to week, on Sunday I read a fascinating article. I get up early. By virtue of getting up early every day, it's kind of hard to sleep on the weekends. And I grab my Free Press on Sunday morning, as I always do. I've got my coffee and And the first thing I read was a cover story by Jeff Garrett titled Mentally Ill Get Punishment Instead of Treatment, and read with both horror and interest, Stephen, this story, which needs to be told.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was a fascinating story, too. I remember when Jeff first came to me about this issue. Actually, it was in December. We were working on another piece about prisons, which is something that one of our sort of signature issues on the editorial page at the Free Press, and something that Jeff works on all the time. And he came into my office and just showed me a photo, and it was the photo that ran the lead photo that ran with the story of a young man chained to a bed with a helmet on and bloodstains on the wall. And in all seriousness, I've never imagined that the photo he was showing me was of a U.S. prisoner, a U.S. citizen in a U.S. prison. And he said, this is some guy who's in jail up in the U.P. He's mentally ill, and this is how they're dealing with him. That rather than focus on trying to figure out what his issue is or what his sickness is and deal with it, it's a prison. And so they're just about housing people and keeping things under control, and this is how they've chosen to do it. So it was pretty obvious just from the photo that I thought we had some compelling storytelling to do, and obviously an important issue to get into on the editorial page.
Yeah, and before we get into some facts, Stephen, and we will, I want to say that the response both on the Facebook page and the people that were contacting me personally on Sunday was extraordinary. There was this tremendous outpouring of people feeling a need, and I'm going to assume you got a similar response in the Free Press the webpage that there people just felt like they needed to comment on this, whether, you know, and anybody that works in the mental health field knows how critical this issue is, because unfortunately, and let me just throw this tidbit out, and I'll let you take it from there. A 2010 University of Michigan study found that more than 20% of the state's prisoners, 20%, about 10,000 inmates out of a population of 45,000, had severe mental disabilities. That is a staggering number, Steve.
Well, one in five. And the truth is, the truth behind that number is that that's what we do with the mentally ill in this state now. I mean, 20 years ago, we essentially stopped caring for this population as a state. Governor Engler was adamant that mental health services could be better provided by the private sector than they could be by government. He had some good examples of waste and inefficiency to make that case. And so we had massive reforms go through that really took this responsibility away from government and did place it in the hands of the private sector. The problem is that the private sector never really stepped up, at least not to deal with the poor who have mental health issues. And so now what happens is they really don't get much treatment at all until they commit a crime. And then the treatment they get when they commit a crime is that they get put in prison, where there are not the facilities or the staffing to deal with their illness. They're just being housed there. And it's really a shameful really shameful part of public policy in this state. I mean, the idea that you could unearth photos like we ran on Sunday of U.S. citizens in U.S. custody being treated that way. I mean, I can't think of another state where I've lived where that was the case. There's no question that we needed to reform the mental health the system here in Michigan. 20 years ago, there were some real problems with the way that it was being handled. But our reforms, the idea that somehow you could just turn it all over to the private sector, it didn't work. And so we really have to have a serious conversation in the state about how to reform the reforms so that people people are getting the help they need and not being housed in jail.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you that there's so many aspects to this story that are troubling, but I want to just, you know, some basic information. We talk about our prison system and the Department of Corrections. I don't recall ever hearing that prison guards are trained to deal are trained to deal with mental illness. They don't have master's degrees. They don't, you know, they're not treatment counselors, and that isn't their job. Their job is, of course, security and safety. You know, with that said, Stephen, you know, I don't think it's unrealistic to claim that the mentally ill in this state that end up in the prison system are basically being thrown away. I mean, it's human waste as far as the state is concerned.
Yeah. I mean, we like I said, we just don't deal with this issue anymore. We don't have state hospitals, which was what one of the things that Governor Engler eliminated, and really the services that would fall short of a state hospital have just been shredded as well. There really are not a lot of opportunities for people who have some form of mental illness. If you don't have money and private insurance, you're pretty much on your own. And so, you know, we see this manifest itself in two profound ways. One is the prison population, which we were writing about on Sunday in the Free Press. But the other is the homeless population. A lot of the homeless and sort of vagrant population in especially in big cities like Detroit are people who suffer from mental illness and can't get help. And so, you know, it's almost like a Dickensian situation where you've got these people who are sick and require care, and the two places that you find them in large numbers are the worst places you can imagine, on the streets or in a jail cell. And it's just not a way that a responsible society cares for the needy, I think. We've not met our obligations in that way.
And is there any plan? I think it's a fair question. And to your knowledge, Stephen Henderson, is there any plan to right this wrong? I mean, I think from a humane standpoint, what we are doing in this state is just despicable. I mean, it's unconscionable. Is there any effort being made to right this wrong?
Well, I can't say that there are efforts to fix it. There's talk about fixing it. I mean, one of the issues that I've actually had a conversation with Governor Snyder about in terms of things that he wants to change in the state is the mental health system. I mean, he acknowledges that we went too far 20 years ago and shredded the system to the point where it couldn't care for people, and that the results now are both not just wasteful, they're inhumane. And so it's something he would like to fix. I have not seen from him yet a concrete plan. In other words, what is it that you would like to do differently? What's the plan for attacking that? You know, how are you going to get through the legislature? And I think it's a function of, you know, there are lots of things on the governor's desk and his agenda. You know, this obviously is not the highest priority for him, but it is something he mentioned before, and it's something that we want to push him to get going, because as you point out, it's just not acceptable. I mean, no civilized society ought to be treating its citizens.
Yeah, we're going to and we'll enumerate some of that on the other side of this. Folks, this may be an early morning. It might be a tough discussion to have, but I've got to tell you, it is critical that we have this talk, and we can't wait for the governor, by the way, to move. This is where you make a difference, and I'll tell you how you can do that when we continue. Stephen Henderson, my guest with the Detroit Free Press. I am Tony Trupiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Let's take the break, and we'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, if you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC, his millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got a couple of accidents out there. M14 westbound after Ford Road. Both shoulders are blocked. Also, southbound 75 after Grand. We have an accident reported there. Two cars involved causing minor delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 36. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 23. And then Thursday, sunny, a high in the upper 30s to around 40. Right now, it's fair and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let me read again an excerpt from this piece in the Detroit Free Press, Mentally Ill Get Punishment Instead of Treatment. It says, worse, nearly 1,000 inmates in Michigan are in administrative segregation, the highest and most restrictive custody level, and many of them are mentally ill. The Michigan Department of Corrections administrators acknowledge that the percentage of many mentally ill inmates in segregation is probably higher than in the overall population. Prisoners in segregation are handcuffed when they leave their cells, eat off serving trays pushed through the slot of steel doors, and generally lack the few privileges extended to those in general population, such as telephone calls, contact visits, and television. Some stay in segregation for months, even years. It also appears to violate the department's own policies, which state that prisoners with a mental disability ordinarily should not be housed in segregation. if the disability may preclude adequate adjustment. Stephen Henderson, my question to you, and as this story goes on to tell a story of two prisoners, one of which, after 4 days of being mistreated and ignored, dies from heat. Of all right. things, Stephen, of heat in this age, this again is unconscionable.
Yeah, I mean these are like, you know, Russian gulag, you know, I mean, sort of evoke your horrible image. This matches it. It's the kind of thing that you just don't think goes on in, you know, in civilized nations. And here we are in the state of Michigan, with it right under our noses. I mean, some of the numbers from that piece are just staggering. I mean, overall, they estimate that there are about 10,000 inmates who suffer from mental illness. 10,000 of the 45,000 people we have behind the prison bars. And, you know, that's just that gets to the larger point. If you have 10,000 people in prisons who have some sort of mental illness, think about how you would have to care for them if they were in other settings. I mean, 10,000 people right now, as I pointed out, we closed most of the state hospitals that we have, most of the state psychiatric hospitals. We have three left in the state. Three hospitals wouldn't even be able to serve 10,000 people. So even if you'd intervened in these people's lives before they committed crimes, there's not really an easy way for the state to deal with them. And that's the problem here. It's that we have just not figured out how, if we're not going to provide a full buffet of mental health services at the state level, we haven't figured out how else to do it. And the idea that the private sector will step up to fill that gap is just it's just been proven wrong.
Well, it has been proven wrong, you know, and again, we talk about privatization and take that any way you want. This is an example of why it not only doesn't work, but won't work. Now, Stephen, here's, you know, and then by extension, we, you know, there's some things that we just know intuitively. We know that there aren't enough staff, period, mental health staff, in the prison system to really make any kind of positive impact. If we're talking about treating people with mental illness, right. they're just not there. I mean, I'm not making this stuff. They're just not there. All right. So then what do we do? Well, can you really medicate somebody without them being evaluated? Of course, ethically, you can't do that. So do you not medicate them at all? Or do you end up keeping them in some state of being stoned all the time so that they can't be of a danger to themselves and to others? You know, do right. you take them out of general population because you know that it's going to make your job exponentially that much harder? I mean, this is not a simple problem to solve, but again, it's one that I think as a society, I said before the break, there is something we can do. We need to raise our voices. And we need to say, although this issue may not personally affect me, as a citizen of the great state of Michigan, I do not support the treatment of other human beings this way.
Right, right. You know, you raise a couple important points there. One is that the MDOC, the Department of Corrections, is just not equipped to deal with this. I mean, there's not any sort of rational thinking behind the idea of asking the prison, the correction system in a state to deal with mental illness. That's not what they're there for. They are there to house criminals. And most of their job is driven by the issue of security, keeping inmates themselves safe, but also keeping the guards and other staff in prison safe. I mean, that's the mentality that drives our prisons, and it needs to. No one's arguing with that. But when you introduce a population into those prisons who have a different issue, whose primary issue is not that they're dangerous because they just are criminally inclined, it's that they have a mental illness that drives their behavior. Now you've just sort of got a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't work. And so it's not so much that MDOC is at fault for any of this. It's not that you got people who don't want to do their jobs. It's that they aren't even set up to deal with this problem. And so that's the foolishness of of the policy that we've enacted, which is that, you know, we haven't provided for these people in another way, and we're crowding them into prisons.
Oh, I got to tell you, this. I mean, you know, there's that part of me that gets infuriated, and I got to check that at the door because the anger is not going to solve any of this problem. No, and it doesn't, Stephen. And I get that. The bigger problem I have is that, you know, you've just pointed it out. We just don't know how to deal with it. Therefore, we don't deal with it. No. I keep thinking about the families that have this troubled youth, and a lot of these prisoners start as youth.
Yeah.
And you know, they can't afford to get treatment for them privately, so they don't. These kids end up in the prison system. They end up being neglected and abused, and we expect to rehabilitate them? That's never going to happen.
Yeah, and the young man that was the focus of the piece over the weekend, I mean, this is somebody who has not committed. I mean, this is not some violent criminal. I mean, he's in jail for something fairly insignificant and fairly minor. But, of course, because he's mentally ill, once he's in jail, he behaves in a way that makes it worse for himself. So he's getting longer stays. And, you know, it's a cycle that doesn't make a lot of sense because it's not addressing this issue. I mean, I think you're right that people need to sort of speak up about this and say to the legislature and to the governor, look, we've done this for 20 years now, and this is what we've got, and it's not acceptable. This is not a way to run this kind of issue. We really do need to focus on what are some alternatives? What are some of the things that we might do differently? What are some of the services that we might provide to people who suffer from mental illness so that they don't wind up in this situation? And as I said, the governor is inclined to have that conversation. I know he is. The question is how much of a priority is it? And that's what the public is for.
Well, that's right. That is exactly what the public is for. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Stephen, this article does say that this is going to be one of a series on the justice system and mental health care. Let us not forget and make sure that we continue this discussion.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Stephen Henderson, thank you so much. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Wednesday.
Yes, see you next Wednesday.
You bet. This is very disturbing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Let's take a break. We got to take the break. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that accident southbound 75 after Grand River. So keep an eye out for that. Also M14 westbound after Ford Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 23. And then tomorrow, sunny, a high near 41. Right now, it's fair and 22 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More first shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Fitzpatrick joins us now.
And dads, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were pushed to the side. They were marginalized. They were judged as, you know, uncaring and incompetent. And they felt unappreciated and not respected and not valued. You know, that's the Homer Simpson syndrome. And at the same time, I've never met a man, Tony, who didn't love his kids passionately and were longing for more connection and really wanting to give the unique gifts that they have to parenting.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Sorry, we're closed. In one of the saddest signs of the times, this message is popping up all across the country as governors and legislators are cutting off funds and shutting off access to one of the finest, most popular assets owned by the people of our country, state parks. More than 6,600 of these jewels draw some 700 million visitors a year to their grand vistas, historic sites, wildlife, campgrounds, educational centers, and lodges. Parks are literally a tangible expression of America's democratic ideals, common ground for every man, woman, and child to enjoy and experience. For the middle class and the poor, who can't jet off to luxury resorts for a getaway or vacation, these spaces offer a form of real wealth, something that each of us literally owns, knitting us together as a community and a nation. Yet, too many spiritually shriveled, small-minded, and short-sighted state officials are snuffing out this uniting social force, stupidly treating parks as nothing but a budget number, or worse, a piece of the nanny state to be axed in the name of ideological purity. Top politicos in most states are closing many of their parks, slashing hours and services at others, or simply handing over the public's asset to profiteering corporations. Idaho's governor has proposed eliminating the entire parks department. California shut the gates of a fourth of the state's parks last year. Officials in Arizona and Florida intend to privatize their parks. Washington State has cut off most of its park funding, and Ohio has okayed oil drilling in its parks to replace state financing. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Woody Guthrie said of outlaws, some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. Shutting parks is theft by the in-laws, the political insiders who are stealing the people's property, stealing from America itself.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, folks. I got to remind you, Valentine's Day is just a few days away. And so here's the deal. I got a couple different deals for you, but I want you to go to proflowers.com. All right? And at the very top, you're going to see a microphone. All you need to do is put in the code TONYT, T-O-N-Y-T. Or if you call 1-800-PROFLOWERS.com, you're going to just give them the code Tony T. And today you want to talk about the 100 Blooms of Love. 100 flowers for $39.99. 100 flowers for $39.99. Listen, you got to do something anyway. This is already cheaper than any florist you're going to find here in the Detroit area. So why would you even bother going somewhere else? Just go to proflowers.com. At the very top, you'll see the microphone. Put in the code Tony T. A lot of deals there, but I really want you to check out the 100 Blooms of Love because that will get you a whole lot of flowers, a whole lot of happiness in your house for Valentine's Day. Now, the other thing here, and I want to make sure that I underscore how important this is, it's guaranteed for delivery on Valentine's Day. That's a guaranteed delivery on Valentine's Day. So you don't have to get them early or late, but you do need to do it this week so that you can guarantee that you're going to get your flowers there on time. The featured bouquet is 100 blooms of love. That's a lot of blooms, ladies and gentlemen. So go ahead and check it out. Of course, there are other deals on the proflowers.com website as well, but you know, this is stuff they're putting together, packaging especially for you to save you some money and to probably put you in pretty good with your significant other. And as I said a little earlier on the show today, if you're a woman, men like flowers too. You can buy flowers for men as well. Proflowers.com, again, is the website you want to go to. Go and check it out today. All right, we are open lines for the remainder of the show, so feel free to give us a call. I am going to, and I'll do it after the show, unless I don't think Jeff has done it, but I will post the story from the Free Press after the show today because I want you folks. I posted it on Sunday, but it's now way buried on the Facebook page. I'll get it back up there. We are going to go to the phone, so feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Jim in Farmington is on the other end of my line. Jim, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, folks. I am a county commissioner in Oakland County, and I'm a plaintiff in a lawsuit to overturn the Public Act 280 that was passed in Lansing in a flash of 3 weeks, signed by the governor to affect only Oakland County, to allow the Republicans to take over the ability to draw districts and to immediately dump four Democrats.
Yeah, we've talked about that in great detail, Jim, absolutely.
This is the day we appear in court for motions, and we're hoping to get this thrown out. It is, in fact, flagrantly unconstitutional. The Constitution says any act that only affects one jurisdiction has to pass by two-thirds majority in both houses and pass a vote of the people. And they decided that, well, we don't have to do that. We have absolute power in Lansing, so we can just do anything we want. And now Brooks Patterson, the executive in Oakland County, has told the Democrats that they're not invited to the county, State of the County address, because we're suing him. But, of course, we're not suing him. We're suing the governor and the county commission. He's not a plaintiff at all. I mean, a defendant at all in the lawsuit. So what he's saying is his lawyer is telling us he shouldn't have interact with us, but no lawyer would tell you that because he's not a party in the lawsuit. So if you're not a party in the lawsuit, there's no legal reason for us not to be included in this. And it's just, this is one of his things he does because he's angry at us for actually standing up to him. So he decided we don't deserve to be in his presence. And it's just one of those things that Brooks does. And to me, this is an insult to the people I represent and to the people the other Democrats represent. And it's just something that is beyond the pale in my experience in politics.
Oh, you know, Jimmy, and thank you. Well, listen, I got to tell you, I appreciate your honesty on this. I appreciate you calling. These are not issues that, of course, we haven't covered extensively. In fact, earlier on in the show, we had Kevin Howley on, who is the Democratic candidate to run against Brooks. It's wrong any way you want to slice it. And it seems to me, and I would think that those of us that are paying attention, it seems to me that what Brooks was looking to do here was to get some media attention. Now, at some level, I guess I bought into it as well because we're giving him plenty. But how do you not discuss this? I mean, seriously, you can't ignore this story, so you're going to have to give it some media attention. Of course, we're pointing out what an ass he's made of himself, because he has. And he's not that compelling a speaker. I would venture to guess that the ten Democrats that are county commissioners in Oakland County may have actually been given a gift by not having to attend the speech this evening. So thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Jim. 888-552-3595. I mentioned this earlier on the show. Wanted to make sure that I got it in today. Actually, at the very end of the show yesterday, Jeff had given this to me. I just didn't have time to get to it. Former President George W. Bush, who extended the bridge loans to the auto industry before he was out of office, told auto dealers on Monday he would do it again. Bush gave the closing address to about 22,000 dealers and their families attending the annual National Automotive Dealers Association convention. He told the audience he thought he would be able to ride off into the sunset in his last year as the nation's leader, but the financial crisis led to the meeting with Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, then Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, who warned of a pending depression if drastic actions were not taken. Bush said that he was a believer in the marketplace and that corporations had to pay for their own problems. Or bad decisions. But he said, sometimes circumstances get in the way of philosophy. And he said, I would make the same decision again. It was shocking a lot of Republicans, by the way. The Bush administration gave the auto industry $25 billion in emergency aid, including $13.4 billion for General Motors and $4 billion for Chrysler, as well as aid for their finance companies. The Obama administration offered another $60 billion in early 2009, as we, of course, know. And that was the difference in keeping the automotive sector strong and a lot of people employed. Chrysler, which repaid its loans last May, 6 years before required, last week reported earnings of $183 million in 2011, the first full-year profit since 2005. GM has repaid about $23 billion, but the Treasury still owes about 26% of GM stock. In his 2010 memoir, decision points. George Bush said he knew he had to rescue General Motors and Chrysler, even though he felt mismanagement contributed to their crisis. Bush said that in the book that he decided it was in early November 2008 to save GM and Chrysler, far earlier than was publicly known, and privately told Barack Obama he would save the automakers in an Oval Office meeting. So I think it's historically significant to share that with you. I only do that, and I realize that a lot of Republicans will disagree with the president, former President Bush, on that issue, and that's okay. We're not asking you to agree with it. We all ultimately, the majority of us realize that it was the right decision to make at the right time, and we're pretty damn happy that happened. No question, that's true. I got an email and somebody said, woke up late. I'm sure you talked about Santorum. Three victories yesterday. Three caucus states. How surprised are you? I think some people are a little shocked. I think some people just don't care. And that's the problem within the Republican Party right now is your own people do not care. They don't. They don't care who you're. They don't care who your candidates are. They don't feel passionate for them. There's nothing to engage them. Once, I guess, it's final and you got to really embrace this guy, whoever the guy is, because I'm not sure I'm ready to announce Mitt Romney the de facto winner, because at this point, he may have more delegates, but he doesn't have more states than Santorum. Santorum's actually winning in the state battle. That's the crazy thing. And you had told me 3 months ago that Rick Santorum would, A, still be in the race, and, B, be winning these things. I would have told you you were absolutely out of your mind. I thought that Newt Gingrich had a chance to hang around for a while, and I'm not so sure that he can. Although he's, of course, absolutely committing to doing that all the way till August in the convention in Tampa. And he has every right to do that, as does Ron Paul. So are we going to see a four-man race the rest of the way? I can't answer that. I have no idea. I have no idea what the Republicans have in store for us. I do know this. If I was a Republican and this was my party, I don't even know if embarrassed is the right word. I don't really know how to put my finger on this one. And disappointed? Maybe that's it. I certainly would be disappointed. Phew. I feel for you folks because, we want a good, hearty debate on the issues. We won't get that. I'm going to tell you right now, and I think I can safely say this, I don't care who the candidate will be on the Republican side of the aisle. They cannot beat Barack Obama, period. They just can't. 888-552-3595. When we come back, super PACs and why the president has decided to embrace them. First Shift will continue after we take this quick break. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight, it's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Triano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Triano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, we get ready to wrap things up on this Wednesday program. President Barack Obama has given in to the reality that super PACs are going to rule the day and has asked top donors and bundlers to start supporting a Democratic super PAC entitled Priorities USA. Now, before y'all get outraged on me, there you go. See exactly what we told you. Why would we not do this as Democrats? I mean, we know the Republicans are already doing it. We know they're doing it in massive numbers. So, yeah, it would make sense that the president would ask people to jump in. President Obama, who, by the way, has kept a distance from the outside group which supports his reelection, plans to send campaign officials, cabinet officers, and senior aides to super PAC events on his behalf. Campaign officials said that the president himself, Vice President Biden, and their spouses would not be appearing in the group's fundraising efforts, though. We decided to do this because we can't afford for the work we're doing in your communities and in the grassroots and the grassroots donations you give to support it to be destroyed by hundreds of millions of dollars in negative ads. And that's according to Obama campaign manager Jim Messina. He wrote that yesterday in an email to supporters. I'm sorry, on Monday evening. It's a real risk to ignore the super PACs, is what he wrote, and it's true. In the email, Messina said the super PACs that support Mitt Romney raised $30 million from fewer than 200 contributions. He said 96% of what the group has spent to date, roughly $18 million, has been on attack ads. At the same time, more than 1.3 million Americans have donated to the Obama campaign with an average donation of $55 and 98% at $250 or less. That's significant. Again, Messina went on to say, the stakes are too important to play by two different sets of rules. If we fail to act, we concede the election to a small group of powerful people intent on removing the president at any cost. And that really is the key driving message there. You cannot ignore, folks. You just cannot ignore what is happening at your own peril. Now, I'm not saying that the Obama campaign's excited about doing this, because I don't think they are. But you have to, you know, you do have to play by the same rules. Fair enough. All right. Now, somebody sends me an email, and you know, this is just indicative of the conservative mindset. So I want to read, I'm going to read the email verbatim because I think it's important that you hear it for what it is, because it's not, well, let me just read it. It says, I do not, the subject heading is about Pete Hoekstra ad. I do not see a racial component in his ad. This is how you liberals think, it goes on. I only like vanilla ice cream. I don't like chocolate. I don't like black clothes. For those statements, you would call me a racist. That's the whole email. So I don't know what your name is, but I would not call you a racist for that. That if you don't like chocolate ice cream does not make you a racist. If you don't like wearing black clothes does not make you a racist. So you're going to have to work a little harder at getting to me if that's going to be your argument. Because liberals do not think that way. All right, let's go to the phones. Mark in Birmingham joins us now. Mark, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
You know, I love President Obama. He goes back on his promises, you know, whether it's continuing George Bush's anti-terror tactics or continuing the funding super PACs, even though he campaigned against it, but he regrets doing it. We got a great president who has principles and stands by his convictions, but he regrets it. That's a great situation.
So, Mark, that the president was honest, you have a problem with the president being honest and saying, hey, listen, we just, you know, this is what's happening. They're raising, you know, buttloads of money. In order for us to be competitive, we're going to have to pay by the rules that they're playing by. So you have a problem with the president being honest and just being upfront about that, right?
He's not being honest.
Yeah, he is. He's being 100% honest. How is he not being honest?
He's a liar because he campaigned against President Bush's policies. He campaigned against these campaign finance laws. And then he goes against it, but he says, you know, I regret doing it. I'm forced. He doesn't do anything on his own. Everything is obstructionist. The Republicans, why would we vote? Why would we elect him? Elect a Republican who can lead, who can do things.
Well, then find me a Republican that can lead, Mark. Show me a Republican that can lead.
ABO, anyone but Obama.
Okay, give me a Republican that can lead. I want a name. Which one of the Republican candidates? Ah, damn it. Did he hang up?
That was my fault. He can call back, though.
I want to know which Republican candidate he endorses. That's what I want to know, because he calls all the time. You know, he's always got the answer. So what's the answer? I want to know the answer. Anybody but Obama. Anybody but Obama doesn't solve our problems, and anybody that buys into that bullcrap isn't worth their weight in garbage. Come on, anybody but Obama. So the guy tells the truth, and all of a sudden we have an issue with that. We got Mark back. Give it to me. Mark, who's your candidate?
Romney, Santorum, either or. Even Ron Paul, if he'd accept defending the United States.
Romney or Santorum
would be fine.
You're like, okay. Just wanted to know where you're standing. So what do you make of the country can't figure out what's going on? The Republicans can't seem to figure out who they want their guy to be. Are you okay with that?
That's a talking point, and this is we had it between Clinton and Obama. It's called the primaries. Most countries, I lived in Canada, I lived in Israel, they don't have primaries. We have primaries. The voters pick it, not the party back, you know, establishment. So this is, it can be messy, but in the end, it makes better candidates, and we got lots of states.
On that, Mark, we can agree. On that, we can agree. I do believe that the primary process makes for better candidates, and I think it makes for a better vetting process. On that, I think we can agree. I do.
You know, but the same thing should happen in Detroit. You had a discussion earlier. Districts in Detroit, I don't think there's one solution to Detroit's dysfunction, but having district council members would go a long way. It's like congressional districts. Again, these other countries, they don't have, you know, I lived a long time in Israel. They don't have district representatives in their Knesset, and the country politically is hit or miss.
No, it's a mess. No, and again, and so twice, twice now, we can find something we agree on. I thank you for calling back, Mark. I do appreciate that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Well, imagine that. Jeff, imagine that. Twice Mark and I agreed on something in less than 2 minutes.
How about that?
What are the odds? All right, we got to wrap things up for today. Of course, tomorrow David Hecker is with us. We've got a manufacturing, the truth about American manufacturing tomorrow. A lot to get to. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much for your work. Patrick, I'll look forward to seeing you at noon or so. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being with us. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slow spots out there, especially in the Lodge, southbound of the Davis. We have an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic gets backed up well behind that. Also, instead of that, southbound between 9 Mile down through 7 Mile, you'll find some slowdowns there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 23. And then Thursday, sunny, a high near 41. Right now, there's a few clouds and 23 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet, tweet, tweet.